All right, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
Hello, this is Radio Tony Pentagon.
And Psychic Tom Padgett with his crystal ball set and ready to go.
Lots to talk about this week. Big stuff, little stuff, medium stuff. There's a lot of talk today on the news about the big Comey tapes. If there's tapes or not between Donald Trump and James Comey there. But this week, I think the big story is the Demetrius Johnson tapes that we know do exist. They don't even know if the White House one exists. But Demetrius Johnson, talk about the least likely guy to come out and go on a rampage. But here we have it. There's some interesting developments here because if you're not familiar with the story, the whole issue started with Cody Garbrandt, star of The Ultimate Fighter now. He's one of the coaches with TJ Dillashaw coaching the other team. So Cody Garbrandt's got a back injury. Apparently he can't meet the deadline to fight. So in steps Dana White and his staff of bullies, if you listen to the Demetrius Johnson side of the story. We'll get to more on Dana White being a bully a little bit later, but what happened was Demetrius Johnson has now been given the ultimatum that he has to fight TJ Dillashaw, who would be going down from what he says he's walking around at 143 pounds right now. He would be going down to 125 pounds. And if you watched Tough Talk last night after the show, he tells you that the last time he was at that weight was his freshman year in college. And unless you know him personally, you probably don't know how many years ago that was, but if you look at the show itself, we had a kid that had to cut 18 pounds. They selected him purposely for that fact on the first opportunity to select a fight. So he didn't make it, obviously. Does that mean TJ can't make it? Well, I mean, have you seen the guy without his shirt off? It looks pretty tough to do. But anyway, long story short, what happened was Dana White and the matchmakers basically told Demetrius Johnson that he was going to have to fight TJ Dillashaw, that he wouldn't get any... They did initially supposedly say that they would guarantee that TJ would make the weight, but then they came back and said, well, no, Ray Borg will be on the card just in case he doesn't make weight, so you'll still have to fight even if the guy doesn't make weight, and it'll be a different guy even though you're supposed to fight Ray Borg in the first place. He already agreed to that fight. Now they're saying this guy's going to come down from another division and fight you, and there's no real guarantee that he's going to make weight. And they won't agree to pay Demetrius the show money that TJ would make if he misses weight. So apparently DJ wants nothing to do with it under those conditions. He wants his conditions met. He's not asking too much if you look at his actual back and forth with the UFC. But for him rejecting the scenario that they want in place for this fight, Dana White and at least one other guy on the phone call apparently said, well, if you don't do this, DJ, the whole division is getting closed. The whole flyweight division is getting closed. And so Demetrius responded, well, then close the motherfucking division. So he's sticking to his guns, obviously. And something I saw immediately was a lot of people on social media not knowing the whole story, going out there and saying, you know, give TJ this fight. And the primary motivator is because a lot of people are not entertained by these flyweight fights, and especially not when Demetrius Johnson is steamrolling over everybody. And yeah, that's understandable, but on top of this, they're sitting there acting like this fight. And he's not. There's nothing that could be further from the truth. Because when you're ducking a fight, you say, no chance whatsoever am I going to take this fight. All he is saying is, I want a fair deal. If you're going to force me to take this fight, or you're going to ask me to take this fight and do what's best for the organization, I want certain things in place to protect me. That's all he's asking for. And even TJ last night goes on, and they literally make him say that Demetrius is ducking me. And to me, for a guy who signed up to be part of a pseudo union-type organization, for him to come out and say that and treat all the shit they've been saying on the show about him being a snake in the grass is true. Because that's despicable. And say, well, you know, I don't like what Demetrius is saying about me, saying that, you know, he's beaten twice a guy who knocked me out. And that's why he'll beat me. You know, stuff like that. I mean, yeah, the guy's kind of disrespected you a little bit. You shoot back, fire back. But to paint the story at him because he's not getting the right deal that he wants, I mean, that's total bullshit. And then on the other side of the whole situation, Dana White threatening to close down a division. I mean, you've heard the old standby. Oh, it's like he's taking his ball and going home with it. This is like he's taking with it, even if it ain't his. So it's just, it's getting out of control a little bit, but, Demetrius is basically, sticking to his guns. I don't think he's going to take the fight, and Dana White said a particularly curious thing to me. He said, you know, Demetrius is not the one who makes the fights around here. I do. But to me, I mean, that's very telling about the whole situation, because, you know, it's like Dana White feels like he has absolute power and everybody should do exactly what he says. But there hasn't been hundreds of other fighters who have refused fights before. But he's not going to threaten to shut down every other division if one star in that division decides he's not going to want to take a fight. And then you have a guy...
wouldn't you say, though, excuse me for my name here, but you think there's a little bit of money at stake here. You know what I mean? I guess he just feels that the flyweight division's unpromotable and unprofitable.
Yeah, of course you can make that argument, but whose fault is that? Is it Demetrius' fault? I mean, like, I've never seen so many people, and, you know, albeit a lot of them are uneducated, but, you know, all these fans are just blaming this guy for being too good. Like, I've never heard that before. Like, can you imagine at the Olympics the announcers being like, you know, I just can't watch this stuff because this guy is too good. He's just blowing everybody out of the water on the track. You know, who says that? Who criticizes a guy for being too good?
I guess the suspense is
out. I mean, you got to give the UFC credit at the same time for going through all these loops to try to make sure that Demetrius does get a good opponent. They had a whole tough season trying to develop a guy to take him on, and they didn't get one. So I mean, I feel for the whole situation where they're trying to market the guy and trying to give him a fight that's competitive, but at the same time, you know, if you're really going to give the guy the best challenge that he's ever had, make it worthwhile. You know, you got to give him something, and they haven't given him what he wants. And if he's asking for some ridiculous stuff, that's one thing, but he's not. He's not at all. And, you know, they haven't outright cut him yet because he's a champion. It's pretty hard to do. But it reminds me of the situation of John Fitch, where they said, hey, John Fitch, you don't want to sign this agreement that gives us your lifetime rights to put you in any video game and use your likeness however we want, so you're out. You're gone. And then they kind of rescinded that and let him back when he did finally agree, but, you know, it didn't last too long. He got cut anyway. But it's just, you're seeing this more and more, too. And a lot of these fighters are just starting to say, you know, this whole, we talked about it a lot last week. They're trying to make the point that they don't feel wanted. They're being treated like pieces of meat, you know, you have to play favorites. You have to be a lapdog like TJ is seeming to be with Dana White. It kind of makes more sense now when you look at how TJ went into the room with Cody to pick the guys that were going to be the wild card fights. And Dana listened to exactly what TJ said and kind of threw out the window anything that's Garbrandt said. So it's like
I think a lot of the casual fans just want to see a competitive fight with DJ, and TJ does represent a competitive fight. And without looking behind the scenes, and I understand, I can't debate a word you just said since you started. But you know, I think the casual fans thinking, "Come on, let's see him in a competitive fight." And now he's got one, and now he's.
Well, that's the thing, though. He's never said he doesn't want it. He's never said that he doesn't think he can beat TJ. You know, the guy that he was talking about, he's beaten twice, John Dodson. It might be a long time ago, but he TKO'd TJ Dillashaw twice. So, you know, he's confident on, you know, doesn't mean shit. You know, any given Sunday, yeah, anything can happen. So, I think what you're seeing.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, but, well, I think that when the fight was initially proposed, and DJ, we should get these J's out of this, gets complicated, but DJ insisted that this Ray Bourque fight had to go on regardless of whatever plans were for TJ. And I think that just, it's like, we don't even know who Ray Bourque is. I mean, no disrespect to him, but, you know, it's going to be another one of these slaughters, and who wants to see it? And DJ's, you know, all these other things, and here's this opportunity. I think that's where a lot of that comes from.
Right, but the narrative that's being pushed and that a lot of these fans are falling for is that, you know, he outright refused to fight. And I said no, you know, and I showed his actual comments, his actually posted comments on social media, where he explains he did not outright refuse to take this fight. He's just got certain conditions, and they're not like, oh no, you got to give me $6 million or I'm not going to go near this fight. You know, there's nothing like that that makes it so hard for the UFC to say, okay, we'll give you that. You know, we're talking about like a couple, whatever their show pay is, basically. I mean, that's the sticking point here. We're talking about like $50,000, which they give out on every fight night as a bonus, at least once, you know? Like maybe $50,000 is what it says at stake here from what I can, you know, I don't know what TJ gets paid, show pay, so I'm, you know, don't quote me on that, but. We're probably talking about under $100,000 on a fight that they're going to try to put on pay-per-view, and they're going to make a ton of money on. They don't want to give this guy a bone. And he's defended the title how many times in a row? You know, whether it's boring
like
or not.
Nine, I think.
Whether it's boring or not, the way he does it, he deserves that respect to say, all right, well, you're asking for a little bit more, maybe we should give you that.
And very seldom do his fights go the distance.
Right.
He usually wins. And to add more to that, he's very well-rounded. I mean, I think he can submit, he can do KOs. I mean, pound for pound, he's, if not the best, up in the top three for sure.
Right. But Dillashaw still thinks he's scared, and it's just ridiculous. But Johnson told Ariel Helwani that he's done with the whole negotiation. But he also said something that was pretty interesting to me. He said, you know, all these fans that are getting on me about my legacy, and this is going to tarnish my legacy. He says, my legacy is in the backseat of my car. It's my two kids. You know, they're my legacy. They're what I care about. It has nothing to do with my fight career or whatever. It's about being a man. And whether I want my kids to be proud of me or whether I want them to think that I'm somebody who's just going to go out there and do whatever the fuck people tell me to. You know, he didn't say it just like that, but it's basically the gist of it. Which is a good point. But anyway, he says after they said, after he told them to close the motherfucking division, which is his exact words, he said, because if somebody is willing to do that, that just shows you that they have no interest whatsoever of working with the champion. I never missed weight, always showed up on time, did all my interviews on Fight Week, traveled to Australia and coached 2 times for the flyweight division. I've done a lot. And as we said, he tied the record for most title defenses in UFC history. That was back in April. It's 10 title defenses. One more defense, and this is the big deal. So, you know, it's also become a bigger event than just his next fight now. It's a, you know, momentous occasion for him and for the history books. So you can understand why he would want a protection in there. If I'm going to go and put all this effort in to get this title defense that's going to be the record breaker, I'm not going to go in there and not get my title defense and then end up on top of that with just my show money. No, you know, I want my whole family to be there. I want all my relatives, you know, all these people that are going to see this to be able to see me accomplish something here. I don't want to end up just being sitting there holding the bag, basically. And if you've, you know, followed this guy for all this time, you probably want the same thing for the guy. But whether it's Ray Berg or not, he actually wanted Sergio Pettis next because he's kind of a bigger name. But he eventually agreed to fight Borg. And now they want to change, pull the rug out from under him, change opponents. And while it does make sense, while it should be an exciting fight, it's just unbelievable that they would treat an employee of theirs this way. Never mind a champion with a belt. He says, this is supposed to be the pinnacle of mixed martial arts, and this is what we're negotiating. This is the shit you do at smokers and amateur shows.
Well, maybe this is the end of it. Maybe he's going to retire. Maybe there won't be a division. See if he calls Dana's bluff on it. We'll see if Dana follows through.
Right. I don't think he will.
This is the most labor unrest we've had. Think about it. Because this is going to put up however many guys are in that division. They're all gone.
Right. And in other news, which kind of correlates to this, I read a story today that Dana White is now buying up all the houses in his neighborhood just so he can fucking bulldoze them. But he won't give Demetrius Johnson a few extra grand. Win or lose, you know? This is ridiculous. He's literally buying million-dollar mansions, 1.8, 2-point-something million-dollar mansions, and bulldozing them to the ground because he's had disputes with his neighbors over a pool that he tried to build. And, you know, I've actually lived down on Cape Cod where some communities down there have these homeowners associations, and I have experience with them being a little bit prickish about certain stuff, certain things. It's just one of those things where sometimes they don't like certain behavior. They don't like certain modifications. They all want to, you know, they want to have some kind of a power over everybody in the neighborhood to do the same things. And it's just crazy. But, that's in the news. Dana is bulldozing houses to make a bigger compound. Pretty crazy.